Okay, let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time to study your word, to look into it, and to make sense of it through the power of your Spirit. We pray as we look into it this morning that we would glorify you in all that we do and we say, and that we would be edified by your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've been looking at the past 3 weeks now, the topic of wisdom, and we'll conclude it this week. So before we get into our topic today, in the outline, we'll review what we've gone over. So this is the outline that we've looked at. One is, what is wisdom? And then we've looked at the difference between man's or secular wisdom versus God's wisdom. We looked at how you get wisdom. And then today we'll look at the topics of, do you need wisdom, which is obvious, but there is some substance to it, and also what are the benefits of wisdom. So as a review, we'll just go over this quickly, and then we'll get into our topics today. First, what is wisdom? That was getting at a definition of what it is, right? So what it is fundamentally is it's knowledge, it's understanding, and it's correctly applying that knowledge and understanding, right? So that definition you see up there, the knowledge of what is proper and reasonable. That proper and reasonable part is the what I've been calling the moral aspect of it. How do you know what's right and what's wrong? And it's also the application of that experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So in that definition, you also see that wisdom can be a quality. For example, you can be wise, or wisdom can be expressed, as in you can act wisely or you can give instruction to others. The three aspects of wisdom, and again, this is not to be dogmatic about it, but it's just to give us a guidance of what wisdom is and to help us understand it better, is first is the knowledge aspect of it, which is fundamental to wisdom. I mean, if you don't know something, then you can't understand it and you can't apply it correctly. And this knowledge, of course, is just facts, information, things that we've learned over time. And we looked at a couple of passages in Proverbs that points to how important knowledge is. And then there's understanding. Understanding is what you do with that knowledge, right? You get knowledge and then you understand what it is. It's about comprehension. And then finally, the morality aspect of it, the good and the evil, the distinguishing right and wrong. It's correctly applying knowledge and understanding. We saw these three aspects when Solomon asked for wisdom. We looked at the two passages that were related to him asking for it and how all these aspects were in it, although not exactly the same in both passages, but the understanding is the same. We looked at some wise sayings, secular wise sayings, because, of course, there is wisdom outside of what we call God's wisdom, but it's really not, right? It's all from God. And so we ask the question, can you be wise and not fear God? Because some of the Proverbs were supposedly written or borrowed or influenced by earlier writings from Mesopotamia and Egypt. So the question is, can you be wise and not fear God or not have this wisdom from God? Yes, of course you can, because of course all wisdom comes from God and he created all of us. So there's some things that are common to all men, and that is the knowledge and the understanding of certain things. And even the moral aspect can be understood without necessarily understanding God, because God has put a basic knowledge of good and evil in all of us. And then we looked at some of the examples of God's wisdom, and we focused on the moral aspect, because of course he's the one that defines the moral aspect of wisdom. We looked at passages in Proverbs and also in James. And then we looked at some examples of man's wisdom. Specifically, we looked at Buddhism and Mormonism. And the reason we did that is one of them explicitly acknowledges God, a false God, and one of them says there is no God, but they both make a claim about wisdom and the what is true wisdom, right? But they're both fundamentally flawed, because even though they have some knowledge, some understanding in them, the application of it doesn't go back to God, so it is not true wisdom as we understand it from God's word. And then we looked at what is the difference. The wisdom is the moral aspect, right? It's because we understand how to correctly apply knowledge and understanding, and that correct application is there's a moral understanding to it is because of God, right? Because in man's case, man's wisdom is subjective and relative, because one man's truth or morality may not be another's, right? And then we looked at Colossians chapter 2, and it was important to look into Colossians because Colossians was written by Paul to the church of Colossae for the specific reason of avoiding these false doctrines, these false wisdoms by the Gnostics, the teachings of asceticism, mysticism, and legalism by Judaism. And so he showed what true wisdom and true knowledge and understanding was and how it's found in Christ. And we also saw that in Proverbs 8, where the source of wisdom is God, and through his wisdom and knowledge, he created the world. And then last week, we looked at how do you get wisdom? So how do you get this true wisdom? And it's to fear God, right? We see that in Proverbs. In fact, the theme of Proverbs, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And fools despise wisdom and understanding. We also see that theme reiterated throughout the Proverbs, but specifically we also saw it in Proverbs 9:10. We saw the three aspects of wisdom there. We saw that knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom, the knowledge of God is understanding, and then how that knowledge and understanding is fulfilled in Christ and how he is the moral aspect, he is our righteousness, and how we talked about how wisdom fundamentally is about seeking after a truth, right? It's about understanding something, about getting to the absolute truth of it. And we know that Jesus himself said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we looked into Psalms and we looked at what it is, what does it mean to fear God? We saw the difference between fearing God in kind of a way that where you're scared of him, whereas the proper fear is to fear him in a way that you respect him, revere him, and honor him. And that means that you trust God, you obey God, and you seek God. And we saw that in in Psalm 34, and we also saw it in the Proverbs as well. This was just an illustration that we looked at that helps to kind of, bring that point home, that at the center of getting wisdom is fearing God, and then around it is trusting God, obeying God, and seeking God. Those are just ancillaries or tangents to fearing God. And again, we looked at Proverbs, we looked at chapter 2 and some parts of chapter 3, and we saw those things in there about seeking God, fearing God, and obeying God, and trusting him, and how that is how you get wisdom. And then we also pointed out that there is a difference between the characteristics of a wise person and what wisdom actually is, right? So the qualities or the characteristics of a wise person shouldn't be confused with what wisdom is, and it's analogous to our salvation, right? Just in the same way as, our the good works naturally flow from our faith. So in the same way, when you're wise, you do wise things, right? For example, you'll be disciplined and more humble and patient and able to learn from others and trustworthy and righteous. And those, again, are just examples. But it's important to note that just doing those things alone is not how you get wisdom, because you can be the most disciplined person in the world. You can be the most knowledgeable person in the world, but you may not be wise, right? Because wisdom ultimately comes from the fear of God and knowledge and understanding and correctly applying that. Okay, so today we'll look at, do you need wisdom, and what are the benefits of wisdom? Well, it's an obvious answer, right, of do you need wisdom? I think anyone will tell you, yes, of course you need wisdom. And the Bible specifically says in Proverbs 1:7, the fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if you don't have wisdom, well, you're just foolish. There's no other way to say it. And more importantly, it is essential to us, right? It is who we are. It impacts every part of the human being. So when you think about a person, when you think about a human being, there are generally three components, three aspects of us, and that's the flesh, our body, the material parts, and the immaterial parts, which are our spirit and our soul. We won't get into the fine distinctions between those, but just to help us understand how wisdom impacts all parts of us, right? So from the flesh, for example, right, it can help keep us from harm's way. So just from a secular standpoint even, if you're wise, you'll avoid dangerous situations. You're not going to drive 100 miles per hour down a residential road because that's not wise, right? It'll protect your body because you're doing it to fundamentally to preserve your body, right? You'll avoid various evils that can harm the body. Remember when we looked at Mormonism and their law of wisdom? One of the things they said in order to get wisdom is to avoid alcohol, to avoid caffeine, to avoid hot beverages, to avoid certain foods, to do all these things, right? And those are wise, and they have merit to them. But, you know, the flaw in their statement was that they said that's how you get wisdom. Wisdom can help us in that way. It can help our bodies by avoiding things that can be harmful to our bodies. And you can list several examples. You can even think about it in your own heads about, you know, the things I can avoid to make my body better, right? And then there's also the stress aspect. I think it's known to most people, even back in history, and we'll see that in Proverbs, and even now, that stress can wreak havoc on your body from a physical standpoint. So, a person that has wisdom, that is at peace, that has a peaceful mind, that is at peace with God, will nourish their body from the standpoint that they don't have as much stress. And then, of course, there's the spiritual and what we call the soul or the intellectual part of us, the emotional part of us, the part of us that interacts with other people, that interacts with God, our spirit, our soul. And those can also be helped by wisdom. And those are things that we need wisdom for to, you know, do correctly, right? Now, obviously, you can, you know, have an improper spirit and a soul that can wreak havoc on your mind, right? So a mind that is focused on God, that fears God, that trusts, obeys, and seeks Him, then you can have a mind that benefits from wisdom, right? Because you'll have correct relationships with others and also with God. You know, a term that's often used is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is really about knowing what to do and what to say at the right time and place, right? And that's one of the areas where wisdom truly comes into play, right? It's about restraining the tongue. We saw that in James, that was a very important thing, is that the tongue is a very powerful weapon, can be used for good or for evil, and this wisdom can help us restrain that tongue. It can be pleasant and peaceful to your soul, and it's life to the soul. And we'll see all those things come into play as we look into our passages today. So now the benefits of wisdom. I would say the most important thing about wisdom, the biggest benefit of wisdom, is to understand God and to know Him more and to walk in His ways. Well, why do I say that? Well, we've already established that God is wisdom and that He is the source of true wisdom and that He freely gives wisdom to all who ask Him, to seek Him and trust and obey Him and fear Him, right? So if that's the case and God is a source of wisdom, and He gives it freely, then it makes sense that if we get that wisdom, and we saw last week that wisdom, once we get it, it will be pleasant to us, then it'll help us live for Him and to know Him more. In fact, I would say there's nothing better than to live for Him and to know Him more, and any Christian that truly believes in God's word has truly been saved will say the same things, and we'll see that right now in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. So again, remember, Colossians was written by Paul to the church at Colossae to help them to avoid the false teachings of the Gnostics and the mysticism and the legalism that comes from the Jewish faith at the time. Okay, so Colossians chapter 1 and starting in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, so what he's talking about, this reason that he's referring to, he's talking about the faith of the believers there at Colossae. Since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So Paul is praying for them that they understand the knowledge of His will, God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, a true wisdom and a true understanding. And why does he say that? And that's in verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So having this true wisdom, one of the benefits of it, is it will help us walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So there we see how wisdom, true wisdom, spiritual wisdom and understanding that comes from understanding fundamentally, he was talking, referring to their faith and understanding Jesus as their Savior, is that it will help you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. So in everything you do, right? So that could mean all your relationships you have with other people, everything you do that goes into your body, how you treat your body, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so wisdom is very important, also increasing in the knowledge of God. Wisdom is not something that you get at one point in time where you pray to God, you twiddle your fingers, you wait for it to come, and then you just sit on your hands, right? It's something that you live with. It's something that you grow in. In fact, we read in Luke that Jesus grew in wisdom, right? So there's, from a human aspect, he did, but of course, as God, he was filled with, he is wisdom, right? But here we know that we can grow in our wisdom and our knowledge and our understanding of how to live on earth, how to live for him, not just to live a good life, but to live a good life with God as the center. And also it helps us to understand him more, increasing in the knowledge of God. And we'll be strengthened, verse 11, with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, right? So joyously is very important. It's something that wisdom, again, once you attain, it's not something that's beyond us. It's not something that, you know, only academics attain to. Absolutely not. We just saw it's essential to who we are. It's essential to being a human. It's something that we need. It's something that we have to have in order to live productively and for his glory. And it's something that shouldn't be a burden to us. It's something that is joyous, right? Because Paul says you should do these things joyously once you attain the knowledge of who God is and you have his spiritual wisdom and understanding and you do the things for him and you increase in your knowledge. This is something that is or should be joyous to us, right? Okay, so now we'll flip back and we'll go back to the Proverbs, which is the book that we've been drawing a lot of insight from. And we'll go to where we left off last week. We'll go back to Proverbs chapter 3, and here we'll start in verse 7. And then we're also going to flip over to James chapter 1. And as we read these passages, the things that you want to keep in mind as we go through them is you want to see the benefits to the body and understanding the purpose of various trials in our lives, why we have them, the benefits in relationship with others, and the ways to honor God, because these are all the benefits of truly being wise. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 3, and we will start with verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. So here again is stated the theme of Proverbs, and really the foundation of wisdom is that don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil because it comes from him. And here the moral aspect is emphasized, right? Turning away from evil. And evil is something that we understand through God's word and through his spirit. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Because of course, wisdom has a direct impact on our body, right? When we do the right things, when we flee from evil, when we trust God, when we seek him, when we obey him, our mind is at peace and also our body. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. This is the way that we live for him, right? So as we were just reading, to honor him in all that we do, this is one of the ways that you can do it, is from your wealth. Now, these are just examples. Proverbs are filled with examples of how we should live for God and how you attain wisdom and what is wisdom. But this is an example, is honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And of course, you do those things joyously, right? It's a principle that's throughout Scripture. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Now let's take a pause there. So here he's talking about discipline. Now discipline can come in our lives through way of trials, right? Trials come to us because God is either disciplining us or he's refining us, right? Discipline because we've kind of gone off the path and God kind of needs to give us a gentle nudge or maybe something a little bit more forceful to get us back on the right path. So here we can see that wisdom will help us do that. And it's laid out even more clearly in James. So let's take a pause here from Proverbs and let's flip over to James chapter 1 and we'll read the first six verses of James chapter 1. And this is still relating to trials in our life, because even in trials in our lives, we need wisdom. Okay, James chapter 1 and starting in verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Now, it's important to know who James is writing to. He's writing to the Jews, and he's writing to them. One of the reasons he's writing to them is because they were going through various persecutions, through various trials. So then he goes on to say, the purpose of these trials. So verse 2. Consider it all joy. So here the word joy has come up again, just like we read in the end of Colossians, to be joyous, right? And even in the spite of trials, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, trials can come in various ways, right? Here specifically, he may have been referring to the persecution that they were going through, but we know, as we've all gone through various trials, I'm sure, in all of our lives, that trials can come in the way of many ways. Relationships that we have with others, things can go bad, that can be a trial. Your body, right? Things can go wrong with your body, that can be a trial. It's something that you have to go through. And again, trials can come because of two things, right? It can be because God is disciplining us, or it could be because God is refining us. Now, trials shouldn't be confused with temptation, which James gets into a little later, but we're not going to go into. Temptation is something that we bring upon because of ourselves, right? Because we've caused ourselves to go off the path and have fallen into sin. So it's important to make that distinction between trials and temptations. But here specifically, he's talking about trials, and he says to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And what's the reason for that? Because verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So there's a benefit to it, right? And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's a purpose for our trials, and it's to do these things in our lives. But the thing is, sometimes when we go through trials, what do? I know I have done it. I've thrown up my hands and I said, God, why? Why do we have to go through these things? Why do these things have to happen to me? Why me? Well, we look at someone else and we say, why not them? I'm living a better life than them. But there's a purpose for our trials. God uses it. He uses it to refine us. He uses it to make us how he wants us to be. And in order to understand that, in order not to grumble against God when things go wrong, in order to not ask the question, why me and not him, we need wisdom, right? We need to know that these trials that we're going through is for a purpose, and God has a purpose for it. But if any of you, and now verse 5, lacks wisdom, let him ask God. That's why he says to ask God for wisdom. Let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So again, this iterates our point from last week, that all you have to do to get wisdom is to ask God. And of course, it's not laid out here, but it's understood, it's implied that this asking of God is through fearing him, respecting him, honoring him, revering him, seeking him, trusting, and obeying him. Because we also see that in verse 6, he specifically points out the trust part. But you must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So here again, it emphasizes that wisdom is available. All you have to do is ask God for it. And now it's probably not wise to ask God as you're going through the trial, right? This is something that you should be living in your life daily. You should be seeking God daily, trusting him and obeying him daily. Because if you do these things daily, then when these trials come on you, it's not something that's so terrible. And in fact, how should you treat it? Well, James says exactly, consider it all joy. And you could only consider it all joy if you truly trust God, obey God, and seek God and know that he is the source of wisdom, right? Otherwise, it's going to be like you're going to ask the questions that I've asked in my life, and I'm sure all of you have as well at some point. why me? Why is it happening to me? Why does it have to happen? So it's James, I think, lays it out very clearly there, some of the benefits of wisdom and how specifically in trials that it can benefit us. Okay, so let's flip back to Proverbs, and we'll pick up in chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. So again, here it's pointing out what a great thing it is to have wisdom, right? It's not something that it should be, you know, mind-bending to us, right? Something that you have to sit there and labor through, right? It's something that's pleasing, something that's joyful, because it's blessed for the person, for the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And why is that? Because her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. So here he's using examples of something that was probably very valuable at the time and still valuable now, right? Jewels and gold and, you know, all these things that have intrinsic value to them, right? That have value because you can trade them for something. It gives you great wealth. Well, here, Solomon is saying wisdom is way more beneficial than that. And in fact, he goes on to say that nothing you desire compares with her, and her is referring to wisdom. Verse 16, long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. So here we can see that, you know, here you can see how this pertains to both the material parts of our human body and also the immaterial parts, which is the spirit and the soul, the intellectual parts. It's pleasant to us, and it's peaceful, right? When you have peace within yourselves, you'll have peace with others, right? And then verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. We've read now in various passages just today about how wisdom can be joyous and joyful and happy and pleasant. So all these things, it's something that you should want, right? Because ultimately, that's what everyone is going after, is some sort of peace, some sort of joy, some sort of happiness. Well, that's found only in true wisdom, and of course, that comes from God. And he goes on to say now in verse 19 through 20, the reason, he says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. We saw this in Proverbs 8, how wisdom was with God when he created the world, and of course, wisdom is God. But the reason he says this is to show how important wisdom is, right? How important it is, because after all, God used it. God used wisdom to found the earth, and by understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. Verse 21, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So again, remember, wisdom is not something that you just ask for and it comes to you and then you just kind of twiddle your thumbs and go your merry way through life. No, it's something that you hold on to. It's something that you constantly seek. It's something that you strive for. And of course, the way you strive for it is seeking God. It's not separate from God. It's one and the same with him. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You know, one of the best sleeps I ever have is when I'm not stressed, right? When you're stressed, you have all kinds of weird dreams, and you wake up, and you're like, oh my goodness, why did I dream that? And it's like, oh yeah, that's right. I was stressing about that one thing the whole day. When you have peace with God, when you have peace with yourselves, then your sleep also becomes pleasant. Verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being cut. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it isn't. Okay, well, let's actually stop there and go back to verse 25 and 26. So here, you know, there's a lot going around us, right, within the government and the world and the way things are changing. But those things, we don't need to fear them, right? We don't need to fear because we know who the true king is. We know who's in control. And we know that God is in control. And he gives us that wisdom and that knowledge and that understanding to know that he is truly in control. And so we don't have to be afraid of the evil that's around us. And now verse 27 and 28 gives us examples of how wisdom helps us deal with others, right? Our relationships with others. Here it's about your neighbor. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. In other words, don't pick a fight when there's not one there, right? Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. So here it's comparing and contrasting. And again, this is what Proverbs does quite a bit throughout the writing, is it makes a comparison and a contrast. Here, the comparison and contrast is the person that does devious things and is an abomination to the Lord, and the person that is upright or righteous, and that person is intimate with God, right? We have a true and purposeful relationship with God. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. It's reiterating what 32 just said, just in a different way. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. So here are some of the benefits that we've looked through that impacts our body, that impacts our soul, and our spirit as well. So before we wrap up, let's just summarize all that we've gone through in the past 4 weeks. And really, it's just going back to our outline and looking at the main things that we learned from each one of those topics. So first, what is wisdom? Fundamentally, it is correctly applying knowledge and understanding. What is the difference between man's wisdom or secular wisdom versus God's wisdom? You need God's wisdom to correctly apply knowledge and understanding, because he is the moral aspect. He is the source of defining right and wrong, right, or good and evil. And then how do you get wisdom? Well, you just fear God. You seek him. You trust him. You obey him. And there's a lot to those words. They're simple words, but there's a lot to it. And do you need wisdom? Absolutely. Because it's an essential part of being a human. It impacts all parts of us, right? And what are the benefits of wisdom, which we just looked at? The benefits both to the body, the spirit, the soul, and it also helps us live for and know God more. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for the time that you've given us to look into your word and to look into the topic of wisdom and to understand that it is from you and that you are all wise and that you give wisdom to us freely. Help us, Father, to seek you, to trust you, to obey you, and to have wisdom in our lives, because we know how beneficial it is to us, because through wisdom we can honor you, we can live for you, we can do the things that you want us to do, and we can also know you more. And until the day we see you, help us, Father, to live through your wisdom and your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.